I don't think it's too early to be asking this question and even asking it together. What are our goals for 2025 and even beyond? But the future is now more clear because of this election being decided recently in the United States. Trump winning the election and Kamala losing the election, that has set us on a specific path, a trajectory. We no longer have the superposition of possibilities of both Kamala winning and Trump winning. You know, Schrodinger's cat, the wave function of probability has collapsed. We now know we're on that vector, the human civilization fork, the divergent path of Trump having won. So now from here, what do we need to accomplish and keep in mind? So let's back up, zoom out, big picture, really big picture. You know, I've published 103 Bible sermons so far. And especially in the later sermons, I've been talking about the big, big picture. And my conclusions are that the Creator created, obviously, the entire cosmos, all the rules of physics and gravity and matter and electromagnetism and even quantum realities and all this. And that we are living inside that creation, which is a simulation, and that God gives us the gift of a little sliver of his consciousness that comes into our being, which is the breath, you know, God's breathing of life into us. It is individuated so that we experience life from our first person point of view. But we have consciousness, we have free will, we have creativity, we have connection with the divine. And the purpose of our life here, in a general sense, although each of us may have very specific purposes or goals or quests, as sometimes they're called, but the overall purpose is for us to discover who we are, to develop and reinforce morality, love, defend life, demonstrate that we are a force of good, a force of creativity, not a force of destruction or hatred or anger or suffering. And that if we are able to achieve these things, these expressions of love and life, etc., then we, quote, pass the test of life. And then we are judged. Actually, I think we judge ourselves as much as God judging us, by the way. And from this judgment, then, you know, the next reality awaits us, which in the Bible is called heaven. It's a different dimension, obviously. It's described in the book of Revelation in very specific terms. You know, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no day, there's no night. All light is illuminated from the beings in heaven, etc. Clearly, it's a different dimension. So that's the big, big picture. This is a testing ground for us. And it's very easy for us to get lost in the details of the testing ground. Believe me, I also get lost in it. It's very easy to slip into it, you know, to be so concerned. Well, what is the price of gold today, you know, or whatever, or Bitcoin, or, you know, how many votes were counted on what day and which county? You know, it's just, it's endless. And, oh, this treaty got violated by that country, and here's the language of this and that, and this, oh, we got to get this law passed to do this and that. So these are all, I mean, it's not that they're unimportant, but they are distractions from the bigger, bigger picture. And I would say that one of the biggest takeaways from studying and teaching the Bible as much as I have done, and a lot more yet to come, is that all the things that modern society values, God does not value. materialism, fame, fortune, influence, right? Good looks. Our modern society praises all these things. Oh, this person is good looking and they're an influencer and they're wealthy and they're powerful and they've got a popular show and oh, aren't they amazing? And you know, God looks at that and just laughs like, pfft. Yeah, God does that too. God does. God says, none of that matters in my eyes. What matters to me is whether you're a good person. And you can be a good person and be monetarily impoverished. you could own nothing and still enter heaven. And what's the verse that it's a greater chance of a rich man moving through the eye of a needle than entering the gates of heaven, right? You've heard that phrase. Sorry, I'm paraphrasing it. I forgot the exact quote, but you get the idea. You don't have to pursue the things that modern society tells you are important. And in fact, I would argue that if you do pursue those things, you're wasting your time, and your time is limited. So that's a long way of me saying that for 2025, looking at our goals, none of us know how much longer we're going to live in this realm. We don't know what kind of war might start or what kind of disaster might arrive, or who knows, or what kind of pandemic might be released. We don't know. But what we do know is that we can spend the time we have here pursuing the things that God has laid out as important. And those things are well described throughout the Bible, by the way. But interestingly, those same principles of being a good person, they're also described in Buddhist texts and in the Quran and in other texts. There are many different ways to say essentially the same thing, which is to be a good person and don't commit acts of evil. So it really is universal. There's a kind of universal morality that we are born with. There are also things called mirror neurons that are known to be in the physical brain that allows us to have empathy, to kind of simulate someone else's experience. And through those mirror neurons, we are able to feel what someone else might feel. So that gives us empathy. And empathy is an experiential basis for some sense of morality, some sense of the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, treat people with kindness if you expect to be treated with kindness, right? That all makes perfect sense to a lot of people. And if you do these things, and if we set our goals on this path of expressing compassion, expressing love, then we are on the right path. Now, where I think a lot of New Agers go wrong on this, and where we need to have discernment, is like when Jesus talks about love, he doesn't mean to love the pedophiles and love the child traffickers. He didn't love the money changers in the temple. He didn't love the high priests that were selling and sacrificing the bulls and the goats and the rams. God didn't love that either. God condemned the Jews of the day for, you know, all your sacrifices. They don't even, you know, you kill all these animals and you're still wicked people. It just doesn't even make sense. Why are you killing all these animals and thinking that that gets rid of your sin? It does not. It actually adds to your sin, by the way, to just start killing a bunch of animals who themselves are innocent. You know, I mean, why do you think the symbol of Christ is the slaughtered lamb, you know, or the lamb with its throat slit? Because it was a crime against God for humankind to murder Jesus of Nazareth, because he was as innocent as a lamb. A lamb is an innocent creature. I have goats. They are the most innocent, gentle creatures imaginable. That's why I love goats. They don't kill anything. You know, dogs, they're always eating rabbits. You know, I have a bunny gobbler dog that just eats baby rabbits whole, swallows them whole. I mean, I have seen it. I showed a photo one time, is just horrifying. But goats and lamb, sheep, you know, they're innocent creatures. Like Jesus was innocent, but even Jesus stood his ground. So when I say we need to love each other, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not talking about the LGBT version of, what do they call it? Man, child, or child, man, whatever, you know, pedophilia, man, child, love. Is that what they call it? Pedophiles and, you know, perversions and child mutilations. We do not love that. We stand against that. And Christ would stand with us against that, by the way. I mean, if Christ overturned the tables of the money changers, you think he wouldn't have overturned the tables of the LGBT child mutilation agenda? Oh, yes, he would have. So as we express love and morality, we have to remember, and we should weave this into our plans in 2025. We have to remember that this is not an exercise in just universal love of everything, including love of evil or love of Satanism or love of child trafficking or love of pedophilia. No, no. That's not what God expects of us. God expects us to love others by default when they are good people, or to even forgive those who have wronged us in some way, but to stand firm against those who prey upon the innocent, who prey upon children in particular, or those who are violent, those who are wicked, those who espouse war, those who profit from war, those who profit from vaccine violence against humanity. This is why it's so bizarre that so many churches were telling people to take vaccines during COVID. Are you kidding me? Christ would condemn that. Christ would have absolutely condemned COVID vaccinations, especially the mRNA ones that alter your genetic code. He would have called it blasphemy, an affront to God. And I'm mentioning all these things so that as you and I think about 2025, what is it that we want to accomplish? We have to be spiritual warriors. All of us, male or female. I'm not trying to invoke just the male archetype of the warrior. There are a lot of women warriors. Good mothers, for example, practice discernment. If you're a good mother, you protect your child from evil. You protect your child from, you know, being kidnapped or mutilated or brainwashed or what have you. That's being a good mother. Every good mother is a warrior at heart. True. Every good father is also a warrior or a defender in one way or another. So keep that in mind. But we need to bring out the spiritual warriors in this time so that we are able to do good in the world, to help those in need, and also to say no to the wicked. And who are the wicked? Well, everybody's got a view on this, but I'll share my view with you. Obviously, the wicked are the child traffickers and child mutilators and the whole LGBT cult as it is pushed on people. It is wicked. Now, I'm not judging an individual adult person who in their own life, in their own private life, their own decision, they are a gay person, let's say. That's their choice between them and God. It's not my place to judge their, you know, lifestyle. I'm opposed to it, but that's their choice. What I'm opposed to is when the LGBT agenda is pushed on society and they paint rainbows all over the crosswalks and they silence people who, you know, who mock the cross-dressers and transgenders and whatever, because it is quite ridiculous what they are doing. You know, a man pretending to be a woman, installing tampons in men's restrooms. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And thankfully, a lot of that is disappearing. I think because of the Trump victory, by the way, but also it was always stupid. So, you know, reasonable people are pushing back against it aggressively. And major corporations like Walmart now are dropping all their DEI woke policies and programs. And that's to the credit of Robbie Starbuck, by the way, who's been working on that. And he's managed to convince all these companies, Harley Davidson, Tractor Supply, John Deere, a bunch of them. It wasn't just Bud Light. He's got a long list of companies now, you know, including Walmart. And that whole fad of transgenderism is now that the backlash has come. The pendulum is going to swing the other way, as I always said it would. So this is the time to stand firm for morality, to stand against the LGBT lunacy that is pushed on society. We have to stand against all the silly pronouns. We have to stand against the DEI policies and also the demonization of white people, which has been a feature of pop culture and corporate work environments for many years now. They portray all white men in particular as bumbling idiots who are stupid, incapable, and weak. And in movies and TV shows, all the fighters, all the warriors are just really tiny, dainty women. By the way, it's like she can't weigh 110 pounds, you know? How is she beating up this Navy SEAL again? Tell me that. Oh, must be some kind of special judo move or something. Yeah, I guess. But that's going to change as well. So our job is to not separate people. We don't want to demonize people by who they are, but we do want to push back against those who are trying to demonize groups and people. In other words, you know, like the LGBT people, they're predators on children. We're going to push back against that. But like I said, if someone wants to be gay in their own private life, I'm not going to condemn that. That's not my place. But if they're going out and trying to recruit children to be mutilated, or they're pushing that through schools or pop culture, that's evil. That's wicked. We're going to push back against that. We also need to spread the word of morality and faith. Because you may have heard it said that America doesn't have an economic problem or a political problem. It has a spiritual problem. And that's true. America has a spiritual problem. And whatever laws you might debate, or whatever new nominees that Trump might put into his cabinet to run the various government departments, if we don't get back to a basic ethos of morality, honesty, taking some pride in your work, having some work discipline, having some motivation, you know, these properties, all of which stem from spirituality, by the way, if we don't get back to that, we won't have a nation. We won't be able to save America unless we return to some basic principles of faith and spirituality and understanding that life is a gift from God. That humility is very, very important. The humility that comes from knowing that there is a higher power, and it is a power of the ultimate good and the ultimate creative force in the universe, and that if we recognize that our consciousness, our lives, our very existence is a gift from that creator, then from that we can be more humble in our own activities. And, you know, arrogance is a sin. Arrogance is what drives people to thirst for power. You know how some people always want to lord over other people? And sadly, a lot of those people want to become, you know, officials in governments, or they want to run your neighborhood HOA, don't they? Or they want to be on the city council because they love authority. You know, Kamala Harris gave a speech recently. Well, it wasn't recently, it was a few years ago, bragging about how she could destroy someone's life at just with the stroke of her pen, signing a search warrant, you know, as a DA. She could just destroy anyone's life for any reason. And then if it turned out there was nothing to it, they could always withdraw the charges later. And she was bragging about that. For someone like Kamala, this was a power over others. And that's the way a lot of people are. And that's a sin. That's a sin. Humility is a virtue. And when we can be humble and we can recognize that we are not gods and that we will not merge with machines and achieve immortality in this world, when we recognize that life is short, we are mortal, we are here only by the grace of God, then we can laugh at ourselves. We can also understand that our role in helping others is really, really critical. There's nothing wrong with, you know, getting on your knees and, you know, cleaning a ditch or scrubbing a floor or helping other people with donations or working at a soup kitchen or distributing emergency food or all these things that people do. And so many Americans helped those in North Carolina who still need help, by the way, following those weather weapons storms there. And it's a dirty, rough job. All the first responders know that. All the truck drivers listening, you know that. All the police officers listening, law enforcement, you know, it's a dirty job. You know, when you're a cop and you respond to domestic disturbance calls, you know, like you see this side of humanity that most of the public doesn't see, and it's ugly. It's beyond ugly. It's insane. You do 100 domestic disturbance calls, and your view of humanity changes. It does. Like, oh my God, is this what the world has come to? Yeah. That's why cops can only handle that job for so long, because it's soul crushing, you know? But you're also earning a kind of currency with God when you're willing to do the tough jobs. And just doing something physical. Like, I like to chop wood, for example. This is the time of year when we burn wood for heat. And I like low-tech living as much as I can, even though I use technology, you know, for distributing content, things like that. And I'm building an AI system, obviously. But in my own personal life, I like to live low-tech. And so I use wood for heat. This is true. I haven't had a working furnace in my home for, maybe it's been 4 years, 5 years. I don't know how long it's been. I do not have a furnace. I do not have heat. So I burn wood for heat. And, you know, chopping wood, collecting wood it's a humbling and it's even a spiritual kind of activity. It's something that just reminds you that we're simple, you know, compared to the Creator, and there's nothing wrong with just doing the job of carrying wood, you know, nothing wrong with it at all. It's a spiritual experience to be a gardener, to be a farmer, to be a rancher. Or if it's not, or you can make it a spiritual experience. So just remember that through all of 2025, as you can weave virtue into your activities, whether you're helping others or just helping around the house or, you know, chopping wood, like I said, or I don't know, raising animals or whatever you do, do it with excellence and do it with a sense of humility, with a sense of understanding who you are and where you came from. And there are days, you know, I walk in nature every day with my animals, and it's a very valuable thing to me. And sometimes as I'm on this walk and I'll see a really amazing scene, like the clouds are just right, or the sunlight is just right, or the trees are just right. And I'll notice a really beautiful scene. And I'm there walking in nature, my wife and I with our animals, and I'm thinking, you know, even Elon Musk doesn't have this. Like, President Trump doesn't have this. Like, the richest people in the world do not have this. They can't, because they're so deeply involved in, you know, running the world, running the government, running rocket launches or whatever. They've got endless meetings. They can't take time out to walk in the woods. And thus, me doing something that is free, walking in the woods with my goats and my dogs, is more valuable to me than anything that you could purchase for $1 billion. So billionaires can't even match what you can create in terms of having real value if you recognize what is real. And think about it. What does it mean to be a billionaire in our world today anyway? It's numbers on a screen, so it doesn't really matter unless you use it to alter the world around you, or you choose to live in a place that's closer to nature. Think about it. Every billionaire, if they were to really do what they wanted, they would have a retreat close to nature. They would get away from the cities. Isn't that true? You've seen that. Even like Mark Zuckerberg, he built that giant bunker on one of the Hawaiian islands. Was that the Big Island, or was it Maui? I forgot. I think it was Maui. But even the billionaires of the world, they try to get away from the cities if they can. They want to get out into nature. Well, you can experience nature for free. And it builds character to do so. So I would say that, well, let me suggest one of your goals for 2025 might be to spend more time with nature in some way. It could be growing food, but doesn't have to be. It could be walking in nature. It could be hiking. It could be moving to be closer to nature. Do something that brings you closer to nature on a regular basis. And light, real light, you know, sunlight is medicine. And I recently interviewed Dr. Jack Cruz, who speaks about this a lot and the importance of light in your life. And of course, light is also the metaphor for truth. It's a metaphor for Christ. It's a metaphor for God. Let there be light. That was bringing the cosmos into existence. And I would invite you in 2025, find ways to bring more light into your life. And I mean actual sunlight. Find more ways to have more light touching more of your skin. And it doesn't have to be direct. It can be diffused light. In other words, what Jack Cruz did, he did the whole interview with me with his shirt off. And I knew instantly why, because he allows his skin to absorb all of this ambient light during the day. It doesn't mean he has sunlight like burning his skin 24/7. No, but he allows his skin to see the light. And so I've begun doing a similar thing when I'm on my tractor on my ranch. You might find this funny, but thanks to Dr. Jack Cruz, now I take my shirt off when I'm in the tractor cab. So I'm shirtless, but I'm in a tractor, and I'm thinking, wow, this is like full redneck here. It's just, I've gone full redneck because I also have a cowboy hat on, because a cowboy hat has a practical function of keeping the sun out of your eyes, by the way. You know, it actually is functional. So I have a cowboy hat, no shirt, and I'm driving a John Deere tractor. Yeah, go ahead. Make all the jokes you want, but there's a reason for each of those things. There's a reason for it, and I'm allowing myself to have more contact with light and more contact with nature. And again, that's something that I suggest that you might want to look into. You don't have to necessarily go shirtless on a tractor, but find more ways to get more light into your life. All right, and then finally, for 2025, I'm going to encourage you to expand and deepen your knowledge in areas that intrigue you. And I'm doing a lot of reading. I constantly do research and reading, but I'm reading the lost books of the Bible. And I'm acquiring a massive book library, by the way, for a multitude of purposes, but digital books, PDFs. Most importantly, and I'm gathering a lot of knowledge. One of the things I'm called to do is to gather and preserve human knowledge. And I wish I had more time to read, actually, too, but reading is so slow, you know, but it's something that's very valuable. So whatever intrigues you, maybe it's ancient civilizations, maybe it's spirituality, maybe it's science, I don't know, economics, use 2025 to deepen your knowledge. And in doing that, you'll find yourself becoming closer to God. Really, knowledge is of God. All knowledge stems from the laws of the universe. And the laws of the universe are creations of the mind of God. So all knowledge is therefore an expression of our Creator. The more knowledge you acquire, the better understanding you have of our Creator, who we are, and where we came from. And then to the extent that you can, share that knowledge with others. You can open doors for people. You can maybe red pill people, or you know, give them the opportunity to red pill. I don't believe in forcefully red pilling people. You know, like, open your mouth. I'm going to shove this red pill down your throat. Ah, there's the truth about 9/11. That doesn't work. It's more like, hey, have you seen this documentary? Have you heard about this book? Check this out. Or, hey, did you ever think about this? Or, whoa, this came out. In the corporate media, they're finally admitting the following. Did you know that? You know, that, like, these are the kinds of questions that you can ask that can begin to red pill people. Think about your own journey of being red pilled. I would imagine that many of you listening, you were red pilled at some point, right? Somewhere along the way, your understanding of the world took a major leap forward, like a quantum leap of understanding. What was that process like for you? Nobody forced you into it, did they? It's something that you came to on your own. Well, think about that. And how can you create those opportunities for others around you to give them a means to become red-pilled? So these are some things I'm suggesting for 2025. And if you do these things, well, if all of us do these things, then we are passing the test. We're mastering the test of life in the simulation. The more we do these things, the more good works we achieve, combined with faith and an understanding of the gifts from our Creator, then truthfully, the greater our reward after this life. It is a kind of currency. In the Bible, it's referred to as an inheritance. You're earning your inheritance, not by gathering dollars in Bitcoin or even gold for that matter. You're earning your inheritance by expressing morality, love, kindness, even forgiveness to some extent. Although I'm not ready for forgiveness right now against the Biden administration people. I'm just not there at the moment. I'm still in the accountability phase. Maybe if enough of them go to prison, then I'll say, okay, I'm ready to forgive them now after they've served their prison sentences. I know you're laughing because that's not true forgiveness. Well, sorry, I'm not Christ, man. That's where I am. Throw them in prison and then maybe I can forgive them. But maybe you can be more Christ-like than me. Wouldn't be difficult since because of what I just said. I can't forgive those people right now. Maybe you can. Maybe you can forgive other people in your life. Maybe eventually I'll be able to forgive some of the people who censored me. I can't do it at the moment. Maybe I'll get there. But use 2025 wisely. For all we know, it might be our last year together. Think about it. Any of us might not last the year, or possibly all of us might not last the year. Who knows? So use the time wisely. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, and thank you for supporting our online store, healthrangerstore.com. And we've got our silver products on special, 15% off, by the way, our colloidal silver deodorant, our first aid gel, our colloidal silver mouthwash with iodine and zinc, and our silver breath spray, and many other products, our silver-infused Castile liquid soap. That's cool. Check it out at healthrangerstore.com/silver. That sale ends midnight December 2nd. But we have many other items, you know, readily available on any given day at healthrangerstore.com. Just put /silver if you want to find the silver specials. And thank you for all your support. God bless you all. And I look forward to being with you in 2025 and seeing what we can accomplish together. God bless you all. Take care. Now through December 2nd at the Health Ranger store, we have all of our silver-based products on sale, 15% off automatically in the shopping cart when you purchase them at healthrangerstore.com. Let me show you what we have. We've got the silver gel. This is the first aid gel in the squeeze tubes there. Everybody loves this. It's got 8 different essential oils in it. I formulated this myself. It's got 1,000 uses around the home or ranch or even... I've donated this to first responders and guys that run on the border to try to protect our border in Texas. They use that gel. We've got silver-based deodorant, which has different forms of magnesium in it as well. It's not an aluminum formula. We don't use aluminum in our deodorants. It's silver and baking soda and magnesium. It's very natural. People love that deodorant. And we don't add, of course, any artificial fragrance or synthetic fragrance chemicals to anything. We just don't use that across any of our products, period. We've also got the Silver Breath Spray there, which is a sprayable version that is great for getting silver, you know, into your mouth and for lots of different reasons that can be supportive of your overall health. Sometimes I have to search for the right words to tell you what these products can do, you know, because of all kinds of restrictions on freedom of speech. But we have Castile liquid soap there, which has silver infused in it as well. So that's a special soap formulation, completely unscented, that has these extra special properties of colloidal silver. And then on top of that, we have colloidal silver mouthwash and gargle there on the left side of your screen. And right now, I think that's the only flavor we have in stock. Normally, we have other flavors. They are coming back into stock over time. But that's what we have available right now. And it is mixed with all kinds of oral health herbs. In fact, I want to show you this, what's in that product, because it's so really impressive. It's got iodine and zinc in it. And in addition, here are some of the ingredients. Well, here's what's not in it. No fluoride, no aspartame, no alcohol. But it has xylitol, which is anti-cavity by itself. Zinc, it's got myrrh, a biblical herb that's great for gum health. It's got black walnut hulls, Stevia for a little bit of sweetener. Prickly ash bark, also excellent for oral health. Peppermint oil, clove oil, tea tree oil, menthol, and iodine. This makes it an amazing mouthwash. There's just nothing else in the marketplace that is like this. And, you know, nothing synthetic. It's not all sugared up. It's got really strong functional herbs in it. You don't even need a lot of this. Take a small amount, swish it around. You can even add a little bit of water to it to dilute it and just swish it around. Your gum health, you will notice a difference within just a couple of weeks, if not sooner. But this is available 15% off, which is a rare discount. We normally don't have that kind of discount on any of these products. But we're offering this right now to say happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for all your support. These discounts on all these silver products, show my desk again. This discount applies to all these products automatically in your shopping cart. And this is good through midnight, December 2nd. So thank you for your support. Stock up on these while we can. Happy Thanksgiving. And we appreciate everything that you do to help keep us online and in business. HealthRangerStore.com is the website. And every sale helps support our platforms such as Brighteon and Natural News and Brighteon.io, Brighteon.ai, etc. So thank you for all your support. God bless you all, and God bless America.